Hello, everybody. What is shaking? Welcome to another episode of the Wind Up Podcast and greetings from sunny San Antonio, Texas. We are here getting ready and gearing up for a wine tasting event this evening. We're going to be hosting about 50 people up towards New Braunfels. I got a little bit of a drive ahead of me in the next like 45 minutes or so, but with a little time to kill, we wanted to dive into a new episode with you all and really kind of dig into a little bit more of this event conversation. Last year, I think some of you might remember the Have Wine, Will Travel episode. We did that a while back, kind of diving into, you know, how this works for wineries kind of in general. We're going to take this to that like kind of more businessy kind of level and how this works. And realistically, some of my pet peeves, what like doesn't work for wineries and what kind of annoys us personally, but also plenty of colleagues of mine. And this is not just going to be like the private event stuff. A lot of that is actually way more fun because we get to hang out with folks like yourselves and carry on and have a good time. Some of the more like official, like wine auction kind of events can be a little bit more challenging to deal with. We're going to dive into that and tell you a little bit what like really grinds my gears, but give you some really great examples of events that we've worked with in the past. Don't have any announcements today other than be sure to like and subscribe to the show here, wherever you're consuming your podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks at MTGA Wines. That's YouTube, Instagram, where we're most active, the social network formerly known as Twitter, and of course the Book of Face. You can head to our website, mtgawines.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, check out more about us. You can also submit questions on the homepage there. If you scroll down a little ways and find the email form, you'll be able to submit questions for our monthly Q&A episode. So be sure to go check that out. Okay, so we're going to start off with what, I mean, kind of grinds my gears, because that's, I want to, you know, start with the bad news first, then we'll ramp up to some of the good stuff. All right, sound good? This hotel coffee, by the way, oh, it's the best, right? Every time I make hotel room coffee, it's just, oh, it's the good stuff. Oh, there's also a trash can there. Fun fact, just kick that. That didn't feel good. All right, let's do this, shall we? So this is something that, you know, we probably dabbled in, you know, when we did this Have Wine, Will Travel podcast, you know, last year at some point. Maybe it was even the year before. Can't remember when that came out. I can actually look that up if I really wanted to. Let's see, when did that come out? Let's see when that came out. Oh yeah, that was literally January of last year. So we're, you know, a few months past that. Let's go ahead and dive back into it a little bit. Like I mentioned kind of in the intro there, like when we're doing the private events, like the wine dinners that are kind of like parties, those are fun. You know, as long as we're having a good time selling wine, you know, it's, those are a good time. The real challenge for a lot of us wineries, I think, are a little bit of the like more official events when it comes to like auctions and donations and grand tastings where there's a bunch of different food and booze vendors there to kind of, you know, share their wares with people. And I want to give you guys a couple like examples of why they're challenging. We'll kind of like get into maybe kind of the dollars and cents of this. This is a conversation that we came apart, you know, I'm spinning off of what was going to be kind of our March Q&A, because realistically, this is something that I think hopefully people learn from this when you're organizing events like this, whether you're doing it personally as like a client of a winery, or if you are a member of a country club, or if you are putting together some sort of charitable function, you're on the board of one of those organizations, you're trying to get wineries involved, like hopefully this helps you. Because this is the kind of stuff that we deal with all the time. And we probably get asked to donate to events a couple times a week. We can't do all of them. We have to cherry pick. Very typically by about January, February of every year, kind of our donation docket and budget is full. Like there's not a lot more that we can add to it at that point because there is only so much we can do. And I want to give you guys a couple examples of this. Now, very typical, like just to give you like a ballpark, like when we book a trip, I'll use this one for example, because I'm here in San Antonio. I'm literally here for 2 nights, flew in yesterday, event today, fly home tomorrow. I think the plane flight might've been like $400. The hotel room's another give or take $400. You know, we shipped out 2 cases of wine samples. It's my time that we're doing here. I got a rental car for like another $150 or $200. So, you know, realistically, in like the grand scheme of like a 2-day trip, you know, we're spending, let's just say minus like the outside of the wine, like between like feeding myself, by the way, I had some great barbecue, shout out to 2M Smokehouse, really, really tasty today. you know, it's maybe like a $1,500 investment, right? And a lot of trips will be in that like $2,000 to maybe like $3,000, $3,500 range, kind of like depending on how long you're going to be out on the road, you know, how much wine you're shipping out as samples, you know, how many hotel nights you need to book. Like, obviously there's a lot of factors, but let's just say like this one's like a $1,500 expenditure, right? And when we're, you know, scheduling these events, you know, also providing wine in our time, we have to factor all that, the cost of doing all that into this as well. So, you know, we had folks actually last week because we were planning a nice long stretch. I know some of you who are listening, we're going to be seeing you at the end of the month out in Missouri because I'm going to be there for about 10 days between Columbia, Springfield, St. Louis, and Kansas City to wrap it all up. We're just going everywhere. And we had folks reach out saying, hey, we want to put something together. Let's do something. There's probably like three or four additional people outside of what we currently have on the books. And I very kind of simply went through our process of like, okay, here's what it's all about. Here's kind of what we expect, you know, because we don't charge like a tasting fee. I don't charge you for our travel. We provide the wine typically for these events, unless it's otherwise dictated, because we've done like some corporate events and tastings where they're like, we want to pay you as like the appearance fee rather than like people buying wine, because that's the alternative. You know, those are really the two things. Like you can either pay us to show up, or you can make sure that everyone who's there buys a bunch of wine and we figure that out when we get home and ship it out as needed to kind of make it worth our while. Like, very simply put, those are the two ways to do it. And the thing that's challenging about doing, you know, and that's pretty easy because you, many of you who are listening to this, we've had that conversation. We know what it's about. It can be a little tough for some folks because, you know, there's kind of a, you got to talk dollars and cents, but it's, you know, is what it is. And, you know, there were a couple of events that didn't, you know, happen at the end of the month because it was like, oh, you're in town, we can just drink your wine. Well, no, that there's a kind of a buying requirement, so to speak, for us to do this kind of stuff. So that's kind of how it is. But what makes it tough when it comes to the charity auction and like donation kind of stuff is obviously the theory is that you're donating wine in the form of like product, right? You're probably going to be donating your time, maybe someone to be there and pour your wine, unless you have a distributor or a sales rep in the neighborhood that can do it for you, but then you're still paying for their time, obviously. That also means, you know, a flight, probably a hotel room, maybe a rental car, whatever the case may be. A great example of that is the main reason, one of the main reasons, I should say, for this trip at the end of the month. This is a trip that I've been doing for years now out to Missouri for that initially kind of really started around an event called Shuttle Cork in Kansas City for the Nelson Atkins Museum. It's their big fundraiser for the year. It helps keep the museum open to the public with like no charge to walk into it. Fun fact about me, I love wandering around museums. So when you tell me like, hey, this is what this cause is, we have a lot of friends in KC, a lot of clients in Missouri in general, you know, yay, if you're interested in doing this, like, let us know. We'd love for you to be a part of it. I'm like, this hits right home, hits very close to me, something that's near and dear to my heart, something I want to be a part of. We have a lot of clients and friends here anyway. It's a great excuse to see people. It's a great cause to support, and I'm going to do it. And so I make time and we spend the money to come out here. Now, it's very kind of them. This particular, this organization, they put us up in a great hotel off the plaza in Kansas City, which is just outstanding. It's a great spot. So they help mitigate some of the costs, you know, which is outstanding. And that's kind of, I hate to say it this way, but that is typically kind of what wineries will look for because it is expensive. And I mean, you guys, we've talked so much about the cost of this business and increasing and how finicky it can be. It's really tough for us to do charitable giving unless we're just rolling in money. And I can tell you right now, a lot of wineries, especially in this year, are not. So, you know, anything that can be done to help with that goes a long way and helps us be able to attend regularly and support these causes regularly. There's one up in the panhandle of Florida that we hadn't participated in, but we've had friends that have participated in that kind of have done the opposite, where they've said, hey, here's kind of the donation minimum. Here's what we're asking for. And then every year it's kind of like ramped up. They continue asking for more and bigger auction lots and more time and more money. And by the way, we're not putting you up. And by the way, you know, we might not help with a flight or anything like that. But it was always just kind of gimme, gimme, gimme. And at a certain point for us, it's like, we want to support this cause. It's a great one, but it's just too, like, it'd be cheaper for us just to give you a couple $1,000, because that's what really, you know, it'd be a wash. You know, you could probably get any wine under the sun to be poor here. You don't necessarily need us. And if we really care about you, we can just donate some money. Like, that's kind of what it comes down to for some of these events, is that if you ask for a little too much, you know, it can be kind of tough. There was a moment in time, and I don't know if this was kind of the case, and this is no shade to Shuttlecork, but I'm chatting with some of their founders and organizers, you know, they were trying to get some really high-end brands to attend. I mean, think of your Screaming Eagles and Harlins and things. And I was one of the people that was like, you know, by the way, they're not going to come. Like, they might. If you know somebody who knows somebody, they might donate some wine. Maybe. Unless someone has it already in their cellar because they bought it from the winery and it's part of like their personal connection collection, then yeah, maybe the wine will show up, but it's not necessarily gonna be from the winery itself. That being said, Verite was there a couple years back. So one of, I think it's one of KJ's really high-end brands, Kendall Jackson, for those not keeping up with the acronyms. They were there, you know, and they're pouring wines that are like $300, $400 a bottle, which I thought was surprising, but because that never happens. Really. Anyway, you know, it can be just kind of this, long story longer, I guess, this can be this kind of like game of tug of war between scheduling some of this stuff, what the ask is, what the expectation is of the, you know, organizer, and what the winery needs to really make it make sense. We just went through, and in fact, Brittany was the one who really got this all done and organized, so shout out to the HBIC. You know, she got back from Louisiana from an amazing event, and what they do as an organization is they actually set it up so that they're able to buy a certain volume of wine ahead of time. So they ask for us to donate 2 cases of wine. They ask us to fly out, for a representative to fly out there, be there. They provide a hotel room or an Airbnb for Brit. So she, you know, there's a couple of nights where she didn't have to pay for that. But outside of the, you know, 2 cases that we were asked to donate, they also bought an additional 6. Now, we had to heavily discount it because they are a charitable organization. They don't have a lot of money in the bank, but they understand, like, hey, we want you coming back. We know this costs a lot of money for you to come out here. Our assumption is, basically, it's probably better for us to buy wine from you so that we can kind of use it and have it at our disposal, versus you shipping out a case or a case and a half and maybe taking it back with you because you didn't pour all of it. You know, it's a, we are scratching your back, you scratch ours, and it all works. There's also an opportunity for wineries to sell, which is great, which can always be a point of contention as well during these. You know, again, going back to like the consumer events, if I'm coming to your house or country club or whatever it is, yeah, you know, I'm a bit of a traveling salesman. You know, I try not to be too pushy about it. I try not to be. I probably should be more pushy, to be honest, but I try not to be, because I hate that vibe. I don't want to be a used car salesman. You know what I mean? Don't want to do that. But you have to be a little salesy. And some of these events, you know, they have like, it's a verboten. You're like, you're not allowed to sell. Like, you can't have order forms on the tables. You can't do this. You can't do that. And it's like, well, I do need some way to interact with people. If someone really loves the wine, I would love to capture at least their contact information so I can, you know, follow up with them after the fact to try and sell them on wine later. You know, it, like, we have kind of methods to our madness. But that's also where, you know, some wineries do get a little bit stuck on some of these things, is that they, and this I will say, this is kind of the fault of many wineries now, is that they will look at some of these charity events and auctions around the country as selling opportunities rather than a charitable donation. In that we're looking for exposure, we're looking for wine sales at a wine dinner or a private event, or maybe one of their grand tastings. Although the grand tastings are, you know, I mean, you meet some fun people. Many of you, and some of you I've met at some of these tastings. But they're not nearly as successful from like a sales mentality when compared to like a private dinner or like experience, as you might expect. Like, that just kind of is the way it is. Now, that's a problem, because now you have wineries that are kind of jumping ship on some of these events, in my opinion, because they're, quote, it's not worth it, because they're not selling enough wine. I'm like, well, I get it. it's expensive. You want the exposure. You want to sell some wine, but this is also people are like here to spend money and support this event, support this organization. It's probably not the best time to also be like, hey, do you want to buy an $1,800 or $2,000 case of wine? To me, it's a little bit, you know, like in poor taste, you know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if someone approaches you and like, hey, I really love this wine, how can I get some? You know, you kind of mention it. It's very much kind of the softball pitch, you know, form of sales, you know, whereas if it's like a specific wine dinner, like we're there to sell, you know, and it's not another organization that we're trying to raise money for, then it's like, all right, don't worry. I'm going to have an order form in front of you the second you sit down. But otherwise, it's kind of like, yeah, we're going to like massage this a little bit. At least is how I approach it, because, you know, it's why we can't do a lot of these charity events and auctions around the country. We get, again, asked to do a lot of them, but we can only do so many because, you know, number one, trying to leverage them in that way feels gross to me. If it's a great cause, it also has to be a good cause, you know, the right kind of thing. Like, you know, we try to do our due diligence when it comes to this stuff so that we're supporting things that we actually are interested in supporting. And again, we can't do all of them as much as we'd want to, right? But that's the one kind of red mark for sure that wineries have really adopted over probably the last 5 to 8 years, is that they look at a lot of these charitable events as sales opportunities rather than charitable events. So I will say that is something that wineries need to work on. You know, if you show up to an auction expecting to raise money for one thing and you feel like it didn't go well because you didn't sell enough wine, that's kind of gross, right? Like, probably temper your expectations. Do these things because you want to do them and support that cause. If you sell wine, that should be a bonus. That is why when, you know, we talk about this trip to Louisiana where Brittany had, you know, in essence sold wine before she even showed up, because the organization was like, hey, we're going to use this wine for our events, for stuff like that. Like, we'll buy some wine to help mitigate the cost of the trip, basically. Like, that's a great win-win because the trip's in essence paid for. If we sell wine, or if Britt sells wine outside of that, it's icing on top of the cake, basically, and everybody wins. And I think that that is something that is in the form of like, this is such a weird thing because, you know, I think that obviously, you know, nonprofits, there can be tight budgets and you can't necessarily spend it on certain things and all that. But, you know, it is tough, especially when it comes to like small producers to go out and do this stuff. It's expensive for us to go out and do this stuff. So the ability to have this kind of like scratch your back if you can scratch ours kind of mentality, teamwork, make the dream work, rising tide raises all ships, insert crappy analogy here of helping each other out. That's probably the best way to go about it. In my true honest opinion, you know, you got to find ways to, you know, work together to do this stuff. Because going back to that, you know, event in Florida that just kept asking for more and more and more and more, at a certain point, people would be like, yeah, we just can't do it anymore. You know, you're going to have to take a pause and maybe we don't come back, you know. And this used to be an event that we used to love to do. It was a great cause, but now just financially now it doesn't make sense. I mean, you're asking for 10 cases of wine and for us, someone to use a guest house and to donate also something else, plus our time, plus the travel and all this other stuff. Like, it gets really cost prohibitive at a certain point. And this is something where I think I'm curious to see where this goes. I'm still kind of mulling in my head, like where, like what the next steps are for kind of hospitality, the wine industry. Obviously, wineries are now on the road more than ever. I'm sure many of you have heard of different wine events near you, hopefully, or around you. There's something that's going on like crazy right now because of how slow Napa has been, how slow the industry has been. There's a lot of people that had down years, including ourselves last year. So we're doing podcasts from hotel rooms rather than our home office. This is kind of the way of the world right now. But I'm genuinely curious because we, you know, let's say the tourism in Napa, coming to Napa, has kind of leveled out and it kind of is what it is for the time being. Let's say the travel side of things has continued to level out, because here's the other thing is that, unfortunately, and there's no shade to any of you out there, but there's a pretty finite amount of like true like fine wine drinkers in the country. You know, we've talked about this in recent episodes where, you know, wine, as far as alcohol is concerned, is third fiddle to beer and liquor by like a whole bunch. So at a certain point, as we start traveling with other wineries and around other wineries for some of these events and auctions, whether they're, you know, wine dinners or tasting events like we did on the road a couple weeks ago or whatever, all of a sudden, all of our lists and kind of the people that have been there are, everyone's kind of been cross-pollinated. Everyone kind of knows everybody. And the reality is that people have a couple of options, right? From a consumer standpoint, is that you're gonna buy, you know, maybe you found a wine that you love, and as opposed to buying six bottles from the other winery that invited you there, you're gonna buy three and three. You're kind of spreading the love around, which is great. It's fine, it's good, it's fine. I always joke that I'd appreciate it if the only wine you ever bought is from me, because my bank account would be super happy about it. You know, my depletions would look really good. But there's too much good wine out there. I don't drink my own wine because I want to drink other people's and see what's out there. You know, I try it regularly as I'm making it, of course, but you know, I want to know what else is out there. I want to have different fun things. And we have a collection of wine at home where there's variety to it. And that's part of the beautiful thing about wine, is having like all these different options, right, that you can dive into, which is great. But when you've kind of cross-pollinated to a certain point, like you kind of start to level out, you kind of start to see this plateau. So not only is kind of the market really inundated and there's this oversupply at a lot of these, in a lot of these markets, but a lot of these events now are, you're seeing the same people kind of over and over and over again, which is great because we love hanging out with you all. But when it comes to selling wine, you know, that can be tougher. Actually, you know, the trip that we do in March, typically, where we were in Columbus, Indianapolis, and Nashville, when we schedule a trip like that, you know, across many cities and with other wineries, it's tough for us as a winery because our wine club shipment just went out the month before, you know, in early February. So a lot of people have kind of like stocked up on a lot of our really high-end reds. So the folks that are coming to those events who are our club members have already bought a bunch of our wine, typically, which is great. You know, again, all good. And our hope is that you guys get to know some of the other producers in the room and you buy wine from some of them. That's kind of, and then the vice versa happens, that, you know, we introduce you to some people, go buy their wines because we know you got ours in your cellar, go have at it. And then vice versa. You know, we get introduced to new people from some of these other wineries and then they buy our wine. So kind of that cross-pollination process that I was talking about. But I think what we still need to work on, you know, across all of these events, you know, whether it's kind of the charity auction thing, I think is very simple. You know, I think we've kind of solved that of like, hey, we got to make sure this works for everybody. We do want to be philanthropic. We want to be able to provide wine where we can. However, there's a limit to that because we also got to pay our bills. When it comes to, you know, winery events on the road and sales events, at a certain point, we got to be creative and kind of figure out, okay, like what is going to be, you know, what is going to entice people to not just attend, but also buy wine. And that's why we travel with a group of wineries every year, a couple times a year, is because we figure, hey, this way you get to try not just ours, but you get to know some other people and you get to try other wines that we hope you're going to enjoy. And that helps kind of facilitate this great community that we're really trying to build. And I think it works. I think it works. But I think where a lot of the low-hanging fruit still is for this industry, and this is kind of a sidebar from, you know, just the travel and, you know, charity events and stuff like that we're talking about, is that we need to get more people into wine. That's the keystone that we don't have in building this arch right now. You know, we have to find ways to engage with people who are new to wine still, or who are just getting into it, maybe dabbled here or there, or folks that aren't into it at all just yet. And we need to find ways at some of these events and just also in Napa in general, like how do we get more people to try more wine? I think that is, you know, something that we need to work on in general. But that ties into doing these events. Because the event like the one I'm going to tonight, still got about like 10 minutes or so before I got to hit the road. The event that we're doing tonight is going to be for a group of people that are the overwhelming majority of them we've never met. It's a great group of folks through some clients of ours that we met, just met this last fall. I know that a friend of ours had actually done a similar event with them previously. So it was like, okay, like you guys kind of know the drill, song and dance, and how we do this, you know, from like a sales perspective. And what we want to do is kind of cast this line, knowing that maybe it's not going to be the most profitable event. But because there's hardly any people coming through Napa right now, as far as tourism goes, at least we're getting in front of people. So this can also be kind of that marketing expense for wineries. So whether it's, you know, the charity events, these consumer events, or wine dinners, for a lot of us small brands, and this is certainly how we look at it, you know, our overwhelming or over kind of arcing goal is to sell wine at these. But at the same time, we do understand that this can be kind of that marketing expense as well. It's, you know, hopefully we spend some good money to engage with people. Hopefully they buy some wine. Hopefully they join our wine club. But even more so, hopefully they are enticed to get more into wine, come out to Napa, bring their friends, introduce more people. And kind of it's true like viral, like grassroots marketing. And I think that that's where wineries like ours have been successful in these travel efforts that we've talked about, you know, whether it's any of kind of the facets we've mentioned here today, but that's the core of it. And it's, I love talking with, you know, my colleagues on some of these trips because they are salespeople that have goals. As technically I'm a salesperson, I have goals as well. Believe it or not, we do set those. And even though it's our own business, you know, but that's the responsible thing to do as a business owner. So that's what we do, is we operate as we would if we were a normal winery employee, so to speak. And it's something that Brittany and I talk about before we get into the new year. You know, it's planning that we have to do. But it is interesting because I have one of my best friends who's a road warrior, and he's one of the best sales guys that I know. And at a certain point, I don't think I've ever told him this, so if he listens to this, he'll know about it. But some of you are gonna know who I'm talking about. Is at a certain point, he kind of hits a bit of a plateau, especially if he's kind of like switched jobs. He does a great job selling wine, and then it slows down quite a bit. Because finding new fish in that pond can be really tough, you know what I mean? It can be really tough to do. And kind of building your business, not just going for the low-hanging fruit, pun intended, you know? That's the easy part. Anyone can walk into a new job and kind of sort out where the inefficiencies are, where the opportunities are, and kind of make a splash. But once you've gotten to a good equilibrium, what's next? And that's kind of where I think we are as a business. You know, I think there are a lot of our colleagues, you know, as we talk about these sales trips and what's working, what's not, that's kind of where a lot of us are, is kind of like trying to figure out, like, yeah, this, the sales just, you know, the money is not just coming. The depletions just aren't happening quite as fast as they normally would. So like, what do we tweak? How do we adjust? Because I think we have a good thing going. I think everyone's kind of figuring this out a little bit, especially now that more and more people have been doing it. A lot of people have been throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. But it's getting to a point where there's so much of it has ramped up so quickly that there is gonna be kind of a next like new thing. And that's what we're considering, is like, what's next? So I wanna wrap up this episode. It's a little bit of a shorter one for you all, by asking you that. You know, some of you who listen to this are clients that we've done dinners with. Some of you have attended some of these events, you know, whether it's been through our distributor and a wine dinner, or you've done it at your home, or you've been to one of these larger collective tastings. There are some of you out there that have done all of those things. And I'm curious, I want to crowdsource this a little bit and kind of understand where you as consumers actually are, what you enjoy about these events, or like what doesn't work for you. Like, do you want to go higher end? It's say like, hey, yeah, maybe it's a higher ticket price, but we do something a little bit higher end and more dialed in. Does it need to be more affordable? And the expectation is like, hey, we're just buying a six pack of wine from everybody who shows up. You know, what is it that could work for you? Because we know kind of what's been working with us in the industry, and we're trying to react based on kind of the vibe, but to get some real feedback would be outstanding. So I'm gonna throw that ball into your court. I'm gonna see what you do with it. Alrighty? I'm excited for the rest of the spring. It's been a lovely time here in Texas. It's great to have some Texas brisket again. Oh, so good. It's gonna be an amazing time here tonight. Very excited for those of you that are out in Missouri who are listening. Very excited to be back in the state doing all the things with you all. It's gonna be a great time, great time. This is where the creative brain turns on. I'm like, ooh, I start noodling. Like, what can we do better? What can we do more of? How do we adjust, adapt, overcome? And I think we'll all, as kind of this wine community and kind of how we all do things and what our expectations are, we'll figure it out. You know, I think this has been something that is so new to the wine industry. I mean, shoot, hospitality and tastings are only like 20 years old, 30, going on 30 years old in Napa. Like this whole thing is new. This travel thing, the buddy I was talking about and I with a couple other friends, we started this in 2016. And I think at that time, there's one other group in Napa that was traveling with like their merry band of wineries. And now everybody's trying to sort that out. I'm including some very high-end brands who you would never think would be on the road. They'd do the Hermes thing. They would just take their fucking time. Shout out to Sex and the City, one of my favorite quotes in that show. Is Hermes French? Yes. Yes, it is actually. All right. Enough tangents aside. It's been great chatting with you all. I hope that for those of you that have attended some of these events, whether there's some of the auctions that we're a part of, not just us, but other wineries, some of the dinners and tasting events that you enjoy them. If there are any critiques, any things that we could do better, let's talk about it. Let's figure out what we can do more of. Very excited to continue being on the road this month and into the summer. And then of course, we'll be back on the road come November and into December as well. We got all kinds of stuff that we're still waiting to announce. Very excited to be on the road. It's always nice to just see and do something and experience a new locale. So have an excellent rest of your day. Have a good solid glass of wine for me tonight. Because if you're listening to this, it's probably going to be Wednesday when this gets released. Actually, I might be able to enjoy a glass of wine with you all on Wednesday. So think of me when you pop open the bottle and I'll do the same. We'll catch you all later. This has been the Wind Up Podcast. Be sure to follow, like, subscribe. Do all the things wherever you're consuming the podcast. Be sure to follow us on our social networks at MTGA Wines. That's on YouTube, Instagram, the Book of Face, and the social network formerly known as Twitter. Head to our website, mtgawines.com, to check out what we're all about. And also scroll down on the homepage to that email form that's there so you can submit questions for our next Q&A episode that is right around the corner. For those of you in our wine club, one last minute announcement is that we will be preparing for that last spring shipment. That notification is going to be going out very soon. So keep an eye on your email inbox. We got some amazing wines that are going to be coming your way just before the summer kicks into high gear. Have a great rest of the day, evening, week, month, whatever the case may be. And we'll see you next time here on the Wind Up Podcast. Cheers.